The headlines: international condemnation and calls for accountability over Israel's violence towards Palestinians at the Al-Aqsa Mosque and the desecration of the Muslim holy site. President Zelensky warns of Russia planning to attack other European countries in an effort to rally support behind Ukraine. Also ahead, China blasts a UK court ruling to extradite Assange and says the case reveals U.S. hypocrisy better than the WikiLeaks revelations. Hello and welcome from our headquarters in Tehran. Thank you for joining us. My name is Gisumi Shahmadi, and these are our top stories this hour. Israel announces the closure of the only crossing with the Gaza Strip, citing rocket launches from the besieged Palestinian territory. The Israeli Ministry of Military Affairs says Gazan merchants and workers would not be allowed through the Erez crossing on Sunday. It says that the reopening of the crossing will be decided after the security situation is assessed. Israel says rockets were fired from Gaza on Friday and early Saturday. No casualties or damages were reported. Palestinian officials in Gaza have not condemned it either. The development comes amid an Israeli crackdown on Palestinian worshippers at the Al-Aqsa Mosque in Al-Quds. Dozens were wounded on Friday. Israeli forces made arrests too. Palestinian resistance movement Hamas has reacted to the latest attack on Al-Aqsa Mosque. The movement said it is closely monitoring the situation there and it is fully ready to respond to Israeli crimes against Palestinian people. Hamas also called on the international community to restrain the occupying Israeli regime and stop its aggression against Al-Aqsa. Tensions at the holy site began last Friday when Israeli forces attacked Palestinian worshippers, injuring scores of them. The aggression is taking place during the fasting month of Ramadan. The Israeli embassy in London was targeted by a demonstration of furious pro-Palestinian activists who condemned the recent attacks against unarmed Palestinian worshippers this Ramadan. The protesters hoped to send a strong message of solidarity to the Palestinians and vent the UK's leadership, who routinely facilitates the Israeli aggression. Robert Carter reports.
Amid ongoing violence in Palestine, hundreds of London protesters mobbed outside Israel's embassy to condemn the regime's ongoing onslaught. The Islamic holy site in the occupied capital Jerusalem Al-Quds has been targeted with daily raids by not just regime forces, but also Zionist fanatics who seek to desecrate Islam's second holiest site during Ramadan, the holiest month for Muslims.
I struggle to comprehend how human beings can do this to others. It's occupation, but for the numbers of people that are happy to use their hate to hit and kill people, the anger that I feel and the sadness and the heartache for the Palestinians, it's difficult.
The unrest also sparked hostilities between Gaza-based Palestinian resistance fighters and Israeli regime forces as the two sides exchanged fire early on Thursday. The lack of mainstream media attention, despite the shocking footage which has emerged, has equally infuriated many onlookers.
It's not just me. Every Palestinian have been hit with the fact that international law is very selective. The application of international law depends on the interests of these countries. And, you know, the major powers insist to keep putting Israel above the law, to keep shielding Israel from international scrutiny and international sanctions. And if this does anything, it actually exposes that the world is not serious about its own rules and laws.
This isn't the first time that the Israeli regime has conducted acts of aggression against Muslims during the holy month of Ramadan in occupied Palestine. However, global awareness of Israel's crimes is at an all-time high, and with future protest action planned over the next days and weeks here in London, the global reaction to what's been going on is far from over. Robert Carter, London.
Muslims across Pakistan have held protests to show solidarity with Palestinians over the ongoing Israeli crackdown at Al-Aqsa Mosque compound. Muhammad Turi reports from Karachi.
Braving the scorching heat while fasting, protesters took to the streets after Friday prayers across Pakistan to voice solidarity with Palestinians as tension continued to simmer in the occupied Al-Quds, where Israeli forces once again attacked Palestinian worshippers at Al-Aqsa Mosque compound. Protesters here are outraged over what they call the double standards of the international community and the way they view Ukraine compared to Palestine.
Double standards is the biggest issue with international community. East Timor, South Sudan, Kashmir, Palestine, you name it. When Muslims are victims, they will always turn their backs on us. Therefore, I think it's about time to put an end to this collective behavior against Muslims on international stage.
Actually, we are being a Muslim, Al-Aqsa, the Muslims over there are brothers and sisters. If they're in pain, we are feeling the same pain in our body. The whole Muslim Ummah is like a one body. If one part feels is in pain, the whole body feels the pain. So we are feeling that pain and we are gathered here to tell the world that they are not alone. We are with them.
Speakers at the rally stress upon the need of unity among the Muslim world.
We are who are gathered over here because of, as you know, the situation which is going on in Palestine. Israelis are continuously terrorizing or they are attacking the innocent people of Palestine. That's why we are gathering in the protest to show their solidarity with the Palestinian people.
Again, you know, the Jews, army and the military, paramilitary forces, they are not letting the Muslims over there freely praying and offering their rituals of the Ramadan. And everybody knows this is the holiest month of Ramadan, and this is very sacred to the Muslim.
The Israeli aggression against Palestinians has once again escalated during the fasting month of Ramadan. Scores of Palestinians have been injured by the Israeli forces at the Al-Aqsa Mosque over the past few days. Muhammad Turi, Karachi.
Jordanians have also taken to the streets of the capital Amman with solidarity with the Palestinians amid the intensified Israeli assaults. The protesters say the Jordanian government must expel the Israeli ambassador and scrap a peace treaty signed with the regime. Jordan's foreign minister, Ayman Sadafi, recently summoned Israel's charge d'affaires to protest a recent Israeli brutality at Al-Aqsa and its vicinity in the occupied old city of Al-Quds. Last week, over 75 Jordanian lawmakers also called for severing ties with the Tel Aviv regime and suspending all bilateral agreements. Similar protest rallies were also held across the world, including in the besieged Gaza Strip, Pakistan, and the UK. Iran's permanent ambassador to the United Nations denounces Israel's latest attacks on the Al-Aqsa Mosque and the killing of Palestinians by the regime in Al-Quds. Majid Takht-Ravanchi called for the immediate action by international community, especially the UN, to end Israeli occupation and acts of aggression. Takht-Ravanchi made the remarks in a meeting of Islamic countries ambassadors in New York, where the UN Secretary General was also present. The meeting focused on the desecration of Al-Aqsa Mosque by Israeli forces over the past days. Delegates of other Islamic nations also highlighted the UN's role in achieving a fair resolution to the Palestinian issue. Several bath staff hit parts of Afghanistan in the past week, killing and injuring scores of people. We discussed this in our news review program. Here's the full story and what our guest said about this matter.
Welcome everyone to the news review program now, where we get in-depth in one of the day's top stories. And yet, another bombing in Afghanistan. A blast tore through a mosque in the northern city of Kunduz. Taliban spokesman says the explosion left over 33 people dead and 43 others injured. There's been no claim of responsibility for this attack, which follows multiple blasts claimed by the Daesh Takfiri terrorist group in the country. The Taliban say they've arrested a Daesh member in connection with a Thursday bomb attack at a Shia mosque in Mazar-e-Sharif. They say that he was the mastermind behind that deadly blast. Local sources say over 36 people were killed in the Mazar-e-Sharif bombing. Now on Thursday, Kunduz was also rocked in a similar attack where 4 people died there. Major cities in Afghanistan have been reeling from bomb attacks since the Taliban takeover in August 2021. Now joining us for the program is Mr. Tony Gosling, investigative journalist from Bristol, and Ian Williams, journalist and analyst and writer, joining us from New York. Gentlemen, I'd like to welcome you both to the program. I guess, Ian, we'll start with you. Why do you think we're seeing this uptick in these terror attacks on Afghan soil, especially in the holy fasting month of Ramadan?
Well, it's the time that the fanatics will pick as especially holy a month, and since these attacks are on what they regard as heretics, Shia mosques, they think they're doing Allah's work, I suppose. It's more interesting to see how the Taliban have really failed to establish control, because they dissolved the previous state and they haven't replaced it with an apparatus of their own. Having warriors wandering around with AK-47s is not the same as establishing the institutions that the previous state at least vestigially had. I presume that's their problem now, is that they really do not have control, and the takfiris, as you call them, can infiltrate and work at their will without any impediment from the local authorities, because there aren't any local authorities. The Taliban, mostly Pashtun, were never very strong in the north anyway. That was the bedrock of the resistance to them. That's why they were called the Northern Warlords. And the Hazara people, who are being singled out for attack, were pretty much marginalized by all of the major groups in Afghan society. They've always been outsiders. I mean, I'm not saying that in a derogatory way, that they've been forced to be outsiders.
Thank you, Ian. And Tony, welcome to the program there, bud. So, Tony, your initial thoughts on these attacks, and when it comes to the Taliban providing, to Ian's point, security for the Shia community in Afghanistan, the last few days we've seen multiple mosques and educational centers targeted, leaving dozens dead. Are we seeing incompetence to provide security by the Taliban, or something, do you think, more sinister? Your initial thoughts on this.
Well, look, the question is, who are these fanatics? Ian's quite rightly pointed out they are fanatics, but who are they? What is their motivation? Is it really this kind of idea that the Shia want to kill the Sunni want to kill the Shia? We had a very similar conflict over here in Northern Ireland, in the latter part of the last century, called the Troubles, where supposedly that was all about Catholics wanting to kill Protestants and Protestants wanting to kill Catholics. But I can tell you, and I lived over there for a year, right on the border of Northern Ireland, which was called Bandit Country, and it was really nothing to do with the religion and the faith. What it was a practice ground for the army, where they were practicing urban warfare, and also it was an attempt to set these two religious communities against each other. Largely, you know, it was actually faith that brought them together eventually and signed the Good Friday Agreement. So, you know, I look at many of these so-called religious conflicts around the world as an attempt to create a religious conflict by other fanatics. In this case, almost certainly, I would say, the United States Central Intelligence Agency and their colleagues in MI6 and the Mossad. They are the ones that like to see these religions fighting each other. They think that, you know, this is a great idea to keep the people down. And there are, of course, as people may know, some of your viewers may realize, there is a whole philosophical cult around starting religious wars, particularly evident down at the Al-Aqsa Mosque last weekend and during the week, where there is an attempt to try and get the Zionists fighting with the Palestinians and make out that it's a religious battle. Actually, the Jews that are behind that are not religious Jews. They're secular Jews for the large part. And if they say they're religious, they're fanatical. So there's a definite attempt to start these. And I think the Central Intelligence Agency, Western Intelligence Services, if you can call them services, They are basically using countries like Somalia, Afghanistan now as well. Now the official soldiers have all left to go and prepare to fight Russia in Europe. And Pakistan, countries like this, that is their playground. They like to set bombs off and to see if they can get one faction fighting another. And I think it's quite evident. For example, if you go down to Egypt back in 2010, I think it was, no, 2011, New Year's Eve, there was a horrific bombing at one of the Coptic Christian churches. And it was the time that the Muslim Brotherhood were taking over briefly. And it came out then through actually the British staff at the British Embassy, there were some people came to confess to them that they'd actually been working directly for Habib al-Adli, who was the anterior minister for Mubarak. So they had actually planted the bombs themselves in the church to do exactly what I suggested, which was to try and get these various religious groups hating on each other to create this kind of hatred of religion. And also, of course, it's an old tactic the British Empire have used in the past, which is divide and rule. So I think that's what's going on now in Afghanistan, is the Western intelligence services are using it as their playground to try and set one religious group off against another. That I'm afraid that sort of thing actually just amuses them, because they hate people of faith and people of religion.
Stay safe, both of you. Always a pleasure checking with you both. Ian Williams out of New York and Tony Gosling there from Bristol. That's a wrap this segment of your program. Thank you for joining us, and goodbye for now.
And that brings us to the end of this edition of World News. Stay tuned.
This is IRIB English Radio. Please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
As humans, the Earth is our home. It is the only home we have. The Earth is where we live, breathe, eat, and raise the future generation. Our entire life support system is dependent on the well-being of our natural environment and all of the species living on this beautiful blue planet. But what have we done to it? How have we preserved it? I'm Zarin Shajeri, and this is Aperture. Unfortunately, our planet is in grave danger. Many species of animals and plants are nearing extinction. Our clean air and water supply is at risk, and more of our beautiful open spaces are disappearing as new buildings and factories are built. What is worse is that the Earth is getting warmer and warmer as we speak. This week's exclusive documentary explores the perilous state of our planet. Stay with us for the first part.
Issued a tsunami warning.
Gives us a clear idea of what's happening.
The cloud is now moving south. It's harmless to people on the
ground. Covered with thousands of miles, why doesn't that energy dissipate?
The Earth isn't feeling well.
That is a year.
Its fever has risen, and its situation is getting worse by the day.
Nowadays, we hear people saying the Earth's temperature is rising.
The average temperature of the Earth was about 15 degrees Celsius in the beginning of the 20th century. During the Ice Age, the average temperature of the Earth was only 5 degrees less. Take into consideration this 15 degrees and compare it to the 10 degree average during the Ice Age. Now, if this 15 degrees, God forbid, reaches 19 or 20 degrees, what age would you call that? The ebullient age? Naturally, the subsistence of life will end way before the ebullient age.
Of course, the Earth has other problems as well, but climate change or global warming is a major problem, which increases the frequency of droughts, storms, and other consequences and natural disasters that take place on the Earth's surface.
The existence of icebergs in the north and south poles cause reflection of solar energy, which is known as albedo. Without an ice cover, this energy will be absorbed by the Earth's surface and accelerate global warming, altering the average temperature on planet Earth. We can say the Earth has a fever. It may be 1 degree or 1 2/100 degrees.
There's a very simple formula. Q is heat energy, which is equal to the mass of substance multiplied by C, which is a specific heat capacity multiplied by delta T. A 2-degree delta T, for instance, is multiplied by a huge mass at a specific heat capacity, which sums up to what? A very large Q. And what does that all mean? It means that all these signals I'm giving you are alarming. And it means that I'm continuously moving from the green line into the orange and red lines and into the danger zone.
Greenhouse gases are gases that can trap wavelengths larger than 4 microns within themselves. These are wavelengths that are radiated to the Earth from the Sun, and when reflected from the surface of the Earth, elements become trapped within the wavelengths. They trap greenhouse gases and absorb heat, which leads to the gradual warming of the Earth.
Just like inside a greenhouse, as in the ones used for farming, when solar radiation penetrates into it, the trapped heat is not completely removed, and it causes the inside of the greenhouse to become warmer than the outside. Greenhouse gases play the same role in the Earth's atmosphere.
Greenhouse gases per se are very useful. The existence of greenhouse gases in the atmosphere, which we usually refer to as carbon dioxide, is very useful, because without these gases, the temperature of the Earth would fall to minus 19 degrees Celsius. Minus 19 degrees Celsius means a total freeze. It means no agricultural or farming product would be able to grow. Obviously, it wouldn't provide the requirements for human existence on the Earth. The existence of greenhouse gases in the atmosphere and the partial trapping of energy reflections from the Earth have caused the Earth's temperature to rise to 15 degrees Celsius. In other words, greenhouse gases have caused a 34 degree temperature rise. This process has obviously created the ideal situation we have for all living creatures to thrive. A forest is one factor responsible for absorbing greenhouse gases. It is necessary for soaking up greenhouse gases. Unfortunately, forests around the world are being brutally desecrated for their wood and their land. You can see many instances of deforestation around the world. Deforestation has taken place to enable farming, but also for building factories and cities. When these forests are destroyed, the global sources for absorbing greenhouse gases are weakened. With the proliferation of greenhouse gases and the increase of human activities on the surface of the Earth, which has provided the growth and spread of greenhouse gases in the atmosphere, the basis for absorbing and trapping thermal energy that is reflected from the surface of the Earth is further provided in the atmosphere.
The atmosphere's capacity for greenhouse gases is 2,900 gigatons. And until now, in the year 2010, about 65% of its capacity has been emitted. So from 2010 until the year 2100, the atmosphere only has the capacity to handle another 35%.
And obviously the basis has been provided for the Earth's average temperature of 15 degrees to rise to 15.5, 15.7 or 15.9 degrees and even to 16 degrees at times.
از این 1900 گیگاتون منتشر شده در کل جهان در
A large portion of the 1900 gigatons emitted into the atmosphere belongs to countries which have caused more emissions starting from the 1840s and 1850s.
1840 و 1850 اینها رو بیشتر از کشورهای دیگر منتشر کرد. کشورهای در حال توسعه
Developing countries with 81% of the world's population have only emitted 26% of these gases.
Therefore, we're facing a very serious humanitarian hazard, and we need to take serious measures to stop the emission of greenhouse gases.
Progress is being made, however. Beijing authorities are closing factories and outlawing burning coal for heating.
Naturally, a rise in the average temperature of the surface of the Earth from moderate levels can have bad consequences, and temperatures higher than that can pave the way for various disasters on the Earth's surface.
We're working in a totally unsustainable way. We do things to feel at ease, but we only have one planet Earth. We can't later immigrate and leave this planet. If we destroy it, where else can we go? This is it. And the destruction we're causing with technological development is enough to put our lives at risk now. As a human being, I'd ask, what sort of technological development have we accomplished? What sort of technology have we achieved? Or what have we done for human comfort that hasn't harmed us in any way? Give me one example.
The skyline is littered with factories, and toxic smoke pours into the air day and night. For those living here, it's a choice between pollution and unemployment.
Federal appeals court upheld the Environmental Protection Agency's emission standards for hazardous air pollutants from coal and oil-fired power plants. The court rejected state and industry challenges to rules designed to clean up mercury,
lead. The European Parliament said reducing supply in the CO2 trading market would boost prices.
What does it mean to live in a polluted place? It means that particles, say 5 microns, 2.5 microns and 1 micron increase. Carbon monoxide and carbon dioxide increase. Now it depends on the quality of the gasoline and the gas that you use. The sulfur and nitrogen derivatives, ozone and finally soot and particulates all scatter in the air and they eventually enter the body either through the nose or the mouth.
So body cells that start from the nose, eyes and mouth and reach the depth of the lungs are all affected, and these substances enter the bloodstream through the respiratory system.
It affects the brain. We become tired fast. We become impatient. We quickly lose our temper and verbally assault each other. There's no need for one to be ill. Those who are ill are at greater risk.
We see B2B, business to business. Just business to business. It's usually called B2B. This is a disaster. Even if it means death and costs us our lives, which is our most important index, we have a brain. We don't use it. The only thing we see in business is the money. Everything depends on how deep one's pockets are.
Development is a natural process in human growth, which has existed for thousands of years. It's now been accelerated, becoming faster and stranger. But during this development process, some of us have become rich. Some are filling up their bank accounts and becoming wealthy. It's interesting, though, that these same people, sometimes directly, but most times indirectly, have to somehow return this money.
The oil leaked for 87 days, the worst offshore spill in U.S. history.
BP was later found to be grossly negligent for the explosion aboard the Deepwater Horizon platform. And today, it agreed to a settlement that will include a $5.5 billion fine for violations of the Clean Water Act, $7.1 billion to the U.S. government and five states to repair coastlines smeared by oil, $4.9 billion to settle economic claims by those five states, and up to $1 billion to 400 local governments. Louisiana, the most heavily damaged, gets almost $7 billion, the biggest share.
This is by no means chance and accident. Our experience in development over the past 100 or 200 years shows that technological advancement and city living have been the cause of this. Name any technology you like, or whatever has made human existence easier, and you'll find it's harmed the environment.
China has announced the successful containment of its worst ever reported oil spill, although much work remains to be done before an ongoing cleanup is complete. At a media briefing, the vice mayor of the northeastern coastal city of Dalian, where the spill occurred, said workers had used more than 40 kilometers of oil barriers and 65 tons of absorbent pads to stop the slick reaching international waters. Yet with oil remaining on beaches and in the water, he also acknowledged a full cleanup will be an arduous task.
Go back 160 years in time to the beginning of the Industrial Revolution, the industrial age in the 1850s, to see an impact.
It's been about a century that we humans have opted for consumerism on the earth, and as we have moved forward in recent decades, consumer demand has risen.
Until a point, we lived along with the earth and the nature. From a point onwards, we just forgot about what the earth is, where it's come from, and where this kind of usage will lead us to. We just want everything. The high consumer demand that we're witnessing these days is just destroying the earth's natural resources.
But a leading scientist suggests the reasons for the drought may be even more worrying for Brazil in the long run. Has continued deforestation in the Amazon and in the Atlantic forest drastically altered the climate?
We created the packaging industry to be able to easily relocate food products and conserve them for longer periods, so we would be able to keep a packet of food or fruit juice for, say, 2 weeks without it being spoiled. What's been the outcome? Go take a look at the landfills to see what we've done to the earth by producing all this garbage. Garbage that can't be recycled. It was done for our comfort, but it's also put our future in danger.
If we move back a few decades, there were a limited number of countries that were consumer-based and that used a lot of energy and products like the United States and in Europe. But these days, global consumption on Earth has sharply increased as countries in East Asia, especially China, have started boosting their consumption.
About 56% of these greenhouse gases are produced by fossil fuels.
Naturally, the rise in the use of fossil fuels is due to energy requirements of machines used for ever-expanding development projects. To boost the machine age, the industrial age. Due to this boosting process, the developed world has had to increase its use of different kinds of fossil fuels. This has paved the way for partial deforestation. which aims to provide the agricultural requirements to cover total food needs of a growing global population. This causes change to the optimal 15-degree world average temperature.
این تعادل مطلوب حدود 15 درجه رو برهم زد.
In the northeastern prefecture of Miyagi, and what you're looking at right now on the screen is in the city of Sendai.
A couple of feet of water, so they have to stand out there until they can manage to get the boat across and then take a big group of them into an entrance ramp of ice.
Is there any other way to get familiar with Islam besides mainstream media? Try IRIB English Radio. Log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
This
for
is
a better life.
For a better life.
فرمود بعثت لأتمم مكارم الأخلاق.
The Holy Prophet of Islam says, I have been sent to complete noble manners.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. Dear listeners, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. God says in the Holy Quran, Chapter Al-Baqarah, verse 183. O you who believe, fasting is prescribed to you, just as it was prescribed to those before you. that you may learn self-restraint, that you may fear God. لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. So, dear brothers and sisters, we are going to talk about fasting from another perspective. I would like to say that fasting, like living things, has a body and a soul. It has an apparent aspect and also an inner aspect. It has a body and a soul, and I would like to explain it for you. The required abstinence from food, water, and sexual activities, etc., is the body of the fast. Piety is its soul. لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. That is the soul of fasting. That is the goal of fasting. If we are not striving to refine our character, our akhlaq, by fast, our fasting will be, you know, a body without soul. Fast cleans our body from impurities, and it must purify our hearts and minds from all impure thoughts, from all improper desires, and from undisciplined sensations. The Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, saw a woman who was fasting on the day. It was not in the month of Ramadan. The woman was fasting and the Holy Prophet saw her fasting. But she was abusing her maid servant. She had a maid servant, a female servant. The Prophet admonished the woman and told her to break her fast. The woman protested, "But I am fasting today." The Holy Prophet said, "But was not your fast broken by the abuses you were hurling upon that poor girl?" That was the question. It was a kind of admonishing question. The Prophet asked the woman that to break her fast because she had hurled an insult to the female servant. Now, this example is an example to show that fasting is not only about not eating, about abstaining from food and drink, and not engaging in sexual activity. Fasting has a spiritual dimension which is more important and which precedes in terms of importance over the physical dimension. Imam Ja'far as-Sadiq alayhi salatu wasalam has been reported to have said, "Your fasting day should not be like other ordinary days. When you fast, all your senses, eyes, ears, tongue, hands, and feet must fast with you." How? Eyes. "Keep your eyes off unlawful things and objects. Spend this most precious gift of God in good cause and pious acts, and read Quran and du'as." So this is the duty of the eyes. So we have to be careful in the month of Ramadan. It's not, as I have time and again said, fasting is not only about abstaining from food and drink. We should also try to control our eyes, our ears, our tongue, our hand, and everything. And all of our organs should be fasting. Now, when it comes to the eyes, I mentioned we have to control our eyes. We shouldn't watch unlawful things. We should not see unlawful things. And we should use this important gift in good cause and in pious acts. And when it comes to ears, abstain from hearing unlawful gossip. Abstain from hearing lies, false statements, haram music, and obscene things. Pay your attention towards sermons and topics of learning, etc. That's how we should use our ears. And when it comes to our tongue, do not tell lies or useless tales. Do not spread rumors or damaging gossips about other persons, about other people. Keep aloof from falsity. Use the power of speech in spreading the word of God and creating goodwill in the society. That's how we should use our tongue. Let's have a break. We will be back.
We were given so many prizes. We changed the desert into oases. We built buildings of different lengths and sizes. And we felt so very satisfied. We bought and bought and couldn't stop buying. Charity to the poor, cause we couldn't stand there crying. We thought we'd pay our dues, but in fact, to ourselves, we're just lying. Oh, I'm walking with my head lowered for my race. Yes, it's easy to blame everything on the West, when in fact our focus should be on ourselves. Is it satisfied? Is Allah satisfied? Is Allah satisfied?
When it comes to hand, do not inflict injury upon others by your actions. Instead, strive to help them as far as you can. The hand is a blessing that we should use for good actions, for striving, for earning halal food, not for stealing, not for inflicting harm on other people. And we have feet. We should not go towards forbidden places. We should not walk towards places like bars, like cinemas where haram and obscene nudity is being displayed. We should not run between people creating a strife, you know. We should go towards those places where God is remembered. We should use our feet to bring people together, to walk to people, to make peace between them. That's how we should use our feet. This is a kind of fasting. That's how we can use our feet to fast. And above all, our heart and mind must be with Allah, with God, while fasting. Fasting in real sense will not be complete unless our thoughts, our emotions, and our actions, and in short, all aspects of our life become pure, clean, and free from any blemish. Dear brothers and sisters, this month of Ramadan provides us golden opportunity to purify ourselves, to purify our nafs. And self-purification is something that we have to achieve. We have to set a goal to use this month, and especially the grand nights, the nights of Qadr, to purify ourselves, to engage in communication with Allah, to worship Him, to praise Allah, to glorify Allah, and to achieve closeness and nearness to Allah. We should be fully aware that this is a very golden opportunity that may not be repeated, that may not come to us again. And when we have, you know, done things that we are required to do in this month of Ramadan, if we have recited the Holy Quran, it's very important to recite the Holy Quran in this month of Ramadan, because the month of Ramadan is the month of the spring season of the Holy Quran. This is the month in which the Quran was revealed. And of course, we need to acquaint ourselves with the Quran more in this month than in any other months, because the more we read, the more we recite from the verses of the Holy Quran, the more reward we gain. And of course, we should try to understand the Quran, you know. If we cannot read the Quran, we should try to read the translation of the Quran. Obviously, the reading the translation of the Quran is not considered to be reading the Quran itself, because the Quran was revealed in Arabic. So if we want to read the Quran, we have to read the Arabic version of the Quran. But if we want to read the translation, that's also good, but it's not considered recitation of the Quran. So we can read the Quran, and also it is translation. The translation of the Quran is not the Quran itself. It is a translation. And that's all for this episode. May Allah bless you. Thank you very much for your time. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Every grain of sand in every desert land he knows. Every shade of palm, every closed hand he knows. Every sparkling tear on every eyelash he knows. Every thought I have and every word I share he knows.
This is the Heart of Life pounding. IRIB English Radio. This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is